And this morning I was preaching on how great is the Lord. And you know, I believe that the Lord is great, no doubt in my mind. But Psalm 69 tonight, and we're going to look at God's mercy. And when you think about God being great, you have to think about the mercy of God. God is merciful. And the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive what? Mercy. You know, the greatest thing you can be is merciful. That's one of the greatest things you can be. Have some mercy. Have a little grace. Have a little kindness. And you know, I often say this, the people who need the most mercy and grace are often the people who have the least. And I don't know why that is, but that's true. And you know, having mercy and grace is a great thing. And it's a great thing. It's a great attribute of God. It's one of the great attributes of God. So if you found Psalm 69, look there in verse number 1, and we'll read a few verses here. It says, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink deep in deep mire where there's no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying and my throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me being my enemies wrongfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness and my sins are not hid from me. From thee, let not them wait on thee, O Lord, God of hosts. Be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for thy sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger, my brethren, an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproach of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was a song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayers unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn under me according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Now we'll take our text out of verse 13 where it says, As for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, in the multitude of thy mercy. Hear me in the truth of thy salvation. And then 16, it says, turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. And what I want to preach on tonight is this little thought. And it's a little thought, but I think it's a good thought. The measure of God's mercy, the measure of God's mercy. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your mercy tonight. I'm glad, God, that your tape measure of mercy is a big tape measure. And God, it goes high and it goes deep and it goes long and it goes wide. And God, your mercy is extended because you're a merciful God. And Lord, I pray that we could remember mercy ourselves. And Lord, follow your example. Bless the word and help me as I teach and preach tonight. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight, as we look at this ideal, the measure of God's mercy. When I think of the length and the breadth and the depth and the height, I think of God and being the Father of mercy. And He is the Father of mercy. There's no doubt about that. If you look in 2 Corinthians, well, you don't have to turn there. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, and the God of all comfort. Now, when I think of the Lord as the Father of mercy, thank God when it comes to mercy, He's the Father of it. He's the originator of it. He's the author of it. He's the one who gives us the mercy and grace that we need. And that, again, is one of His great attributes. He gives it to His creation, and He's great in His mercy towards us. Psalms 119 says this, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. And it's this mercy that the Bible speaks of, His mercy. It makes
makes us rejoice. Psalms 31:7 says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, though thou hast known my adversities. You know, the Lord considers our trouble. He considers our problems. He considers our plight. And the Bible says we can rejoice in that mercy that God has. It's that mercy that leads us to repentance. It says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, forbearance of his longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It's God's mercy that leads us to repentance. It's God's mercy that gives us redemption. Psalms 89:1 says this, I will sing of thy mercies, of the Lord forever with my mouth, while I make known my faithfulness to all generations. And again, we can rehearse his mercies and think about what God has done for us. And then, and thank God, God remembers mercy. The psalmist said this, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of thy years. In the midst of thy years, make known in wrath, remember what? Mercy. Thank God for there's mercy. I'd hate to think where I'd be if it wasn't for God's mercy tonight. And God's a merciful God. And he thinks about us, and he thinks about our pitiful condition. Are we pitiful? Boy, we're pitiful. We're pitiful. And yet, God is merciful. And that is such an amazing thing. I got a couple of little things here tonight I want to look at. And not much, just a couple little things. But the first thing is this. God's mercy, thank God, it reaches upward. God's mercy does reach upward. Look in Psalms 103. We'll look at a few verses now. And when I say this, God's mercy, thank God, God's mercy reaches upward. And you know, there's people that we would never extend mercy to, but thank God, God does extend mercy to all people. But and sometimes God's mercy has to go up. His mercy reaches upward. Psalms 103 and verse number 11 says this: For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. Now think how high the mercies of God go, as high as the heaven. Isn't that amazing? As far as the east is from the west, so far have you moved our sins from us. I mean, that's pretty, as far as the east is, they never meet. And God said, that's how, I mean, God's mercy is such a great thing. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field that flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. You think of what we really are in the sight of God. And you have to thank God for his mercy. I think about those that God's mercy that goes upward. I think about those that are have a high place in life. The rich, the proud are included. The presidents, the kings, the generals, you know, those that you know, you think about that they need to be saved. These people that have high standing in life. And God's mercy can reach up to them if they'll what? Simply humble themselves. It doesn't matter how high or lofty a person reaches, just so they can come down to where God is. And 1 Corinthians 1:26 is a great verse, because sometimes, you know, what the Bible says about, the Bible isn't very flattering and complimentary to people that are wealthy and rich in this world. And we understand that. But notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:26. It says this, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. There was a wealthy woman one time, and she got saved and gave her testimony in a church, and with tears she said this. She said, I'm glad that 1 Corinthians 1:26 says not many and not any. Right? Isn't it great when God can reach up into a high place and save someone in a high place? I mean, Nicodemus was in a high place and he got saved. Wouldn't it have been great if Pilate had gotten saved? Wouldn't it have been great if King Agrippa had gotten saved? Wouldn't it have been great if Caesar had gotten saved? They did hear the gospel. The gospel did reach to their place. It was able to reach all the way to the palace. They just didn't receive it. But God's mercy is there for those who want it. There was a rich lawyer one time, and he used to come down to Chattanooga all the time. His name was Max Aldridge, and he worked with the CLA. If you've been around the guys at the CLA, praise the Lord for those guys. They're lawyers, and they have six-figure incomes. And I'm not against. I want a lawyer with a six-figure income. Matter of fact, I want a lawyer with a seven-figure income. You know why? Because you get what you pay for, and that's the God's honest truth when it comes to a lawyer. When you want a doctor, do you want a doctor who doesn't know what he's doing, or you want a doctor who's the best that there is? Well, when they're coming at me with a knife, I want the best that there is, and so do you. And you know what? Thank God, God can reach them. This was Max Aldridge said. You know, he said people were always afraid to witness to him because he had a 3-piece suit on. They were afraid to give him a gospel tract. They were afraid to tell him that he was a sinner going to hell. And he got under conviction, and he had to go and search and look, because he wasn't raised in church. He didn't know how to be saved. He didn't know where to go to get the gospel, because he was in some kind of Lutheran or Presbyterian deal, and he was under conviction. He wanted to be saved, and finally, I guess he went to the bookstore and bought a Bible and bought one of these ones that's marked, and it showed him how to be saved, and he got saved. And this is what he said. He said, you know, it's a shame that people he said, don't be afraid to give these people in position gospel tracts, because they're just like you are. They need to be saved. There's a lady who wrote a book. It was called I Dare to Call Him Father. And she was a lady in Pakistan, and she was a lady of position and status. She was related to the generals in the army who ran the country. God began to speak to her heart. And she asked one of her servants who was a Christian. And in Pakistan, if you're a Christian, that you have to take the lowest place there is in society, because it's illegal to convert to Christianity in Pakistan. And so what had happened, she had asked one of her servants, she said, I want a Bible. And he kind of said, okay, but he never gave her one, because he was afraid. He thought she was setting him up and going to have him killed. And finally she told him, she paid him well. She said, now listen, if there's not a Bible in my house by 5 o'clock, you no longer have a place of employment. And what happened is, mysteriously, a Bible appeared in her downstairs living room. And the servant was afraid to actually hand it to her, but he left it there. And she began to read that Bible, and she got gloriously saved. You know what that tells you? Thank God. God's mercy reaches upward. It reaches upward. It's beyond man's exploration of outer space and man's comprehension of the universe. God's mercy, thank God, it reaches upward. Let me say this also: God's mercy reaches downward from the uttermost. What's the saying? To the guttermost. Aren't you glad? Both ends of the spectrum. God gets people in the palace, and he gets them down there in the gutter. And thank God that he does. From the uttermost to the guttermost. And that's what God's mercy is. Look in Psalms 136. And this is a truth in Psalms 136. And let me get a verse here. As I was looking at this tonight, I thought, you know, praise the Lord. Psalms 136. And verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then skip over there. We're going to come back to that later. Skip over there in verse 23. It says, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Thank God his mercy reaches down. Doesn't Psalms 140 say, I'll turn over there. I could quote that, but let's turn over there. Psalms 40. And it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and have set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and have put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Man, you think about that for a minute. And then he says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I'm glad that God's mercy reaches upward, and God's mercy reaches what? Downward. You think about that. It goes down and dirty, to the down and out, to the discouraged, to the distressed, to the depressed. God's grace and mercy reaches down. God's always been reaching down to man. And thank God that he has. And, you know, we don't need a hand out. We need a hand what? Up. A hand up to where God is. And thank God for his hand down that reaches to us. Thank God it brings both the low and high together. Where? At the foot of the cross. Praise the Lord. You know, Nicodemus was rich, wasn't he? And what did Jesus say? Nicodemus, you need to come down. Come down to the foot of that tree. That's a picture of a sinner coming to Calvary. And then God went to the beggar and said, "Hey, Lazarus, you need to come up." Thank God. And where do the rich and poor meet together? There at the foot of Jesus. Thank God for that. Simple little message tonight. God's mercy reaches inward. It reaches upward, it reaches downward, and it reaches what? Inward. Look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119, and boy, we're not going to be long tonight, but Psalms 119, notice what it says in verse 75. Psalms 119, 75, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they deal perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." You say, what does it do? It reaches inward. It reaches into the heart and the mind and the soul. And that's where comfort and contentment come from. In Psalms 51, when David had sinned against God. And what David needed was mercy and forgiveness. Because there was no forgiveness for adultery and there was no forgiveness for murder. And David had committed both of those things. And so David's praying for God's mercy to come into him. And Psalms 51, this is what he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." You see, David didn't need justice, David needed mercy. You know what we need today? We don't need justice because God's justice is damnation. What do we need? We need God's mercy. Amen. We need God's forgiveness. And David acknowledged that he needed that. He acknowledged, hey, he said in verse 9, "Hide my face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." You need mercy sometimes to forgive yourself for the things that we do. And that's an inward mercy. And thank God that God's hand reaches what? Inward. It reaches upward. It reaches downward. And where else? It reaches inward. And then, lastly tonight, it reaches what? Outward. God's mercy reaches outward. It extends to the whole world. Look in Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And in verse number 62. You know, I'd rather err on the side of mercy than to err on the side of condemnation. Is it easy to condemn? Anyone can condemn. Anyone can do it. Anyone can take their finger and say, "Yeah, you're a stinking, rotten so-and-so." Anyone can do that. But how many can extend mercy? Which is greater, mercy or condemnation? Mercy is much greater than condemnation. Psalms 119, 62, and he says this, "At midnight I will rise and give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. I am a companion of all that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." What's it say? The earth is full of thy what? Mercy. John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world." What is that? That's mercy being extended to the world. To the great, to the small, to the black, to the brown, to the white, to the red, to the yellow, to the rich, to the poor, the old and the young alike. That is God's mercy. Now, I want you to flip over there one more place in Psalms 136. And I want you to notice something. You know, they say repetition is the basis of all learning, and that's true. You say, what do you learn in kindergarten? What you learn in kindergarten is what you learn in first grade. What do you learn in first grade? The same thing you learn in second grade. What do you learn in third grade? The same thing you learned in second grade, right? Aren't you continually learning the same thing and then maybe adding something to it? But your entire life you're learning the same thing. Why is that? Because the human race, we're slow learners. The Bible says if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. Why do we keep repeating it all the time? Because we never learn anything, right? So what do we have to do all the time? We have to always be retaught the same thing. I was teaching in Sunday school. The Apostle Paul said, hey, the time you should be teachers, you need to be taught again. Because you have to relearn things all the time. And I want you to notice in Psalms 136, if you look there, and I want you to notice the first three verses. I want you to notice what it says. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Number 3. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, isn't that basically the same three verses in a row? Why is that? It's for emphasis. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Give thanks unto the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. Give thanks unto the God of gods. And then give thanks unto the capital L, small O-R-D. Give thanks unto Jehovah, give thanks unto Jesus, and give thanks unto the Holy Spirit, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, some things need repeated every now and then. Some things need preached over and over and over and over again. Why? So that we'll get it. You know, the average person has to hear the gospel 3, 4, 5 times before they receive it. That's the truth. Some people got to hear it hundreds of times before they'll receive it. And see, thank God that God's mercy isn't a one-time thing. God extends mercy to us every day. And you know what I find? Every day of my life, I need God's mercy. And mercy is not something that you, what? Deserve. That's why it says, as a father pitieth his children. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You know what we ought to have? We ought to go around and have some mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall have what? Mercy.